All right. We're going to get started this morning. It's snowy April morning. And let me say, it's good to have everybody here. And just kind of playing it by ear. They're talking like the temperature is going to drop down to 20 degrees tonight, and it's still spitting a little snow out there. My only desire is I don't want nobody to get hurt. We may need to cancel the service tonight. I'm going to try to size that up here later. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, our young people have went to their Sunday school class. And our Sunday school lesson this morning is in Luke chapter 12. It's a good lesson. And it's verse 13 through 28. If you don't have a Sunday school book, you can open up your Bible to Luke chapter number 12. The golden text is verse 15. And Jesus said unto him, or unto them, and he really, when the Lord does speak, he is speaking to all of us. So even if he did say unto him, we all need what he says. But he said unto them, take heed. Those two words, take heed. Do you ever think about it? Taking heed means pay attention. Taking heed means listen intentionally. And the Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth. That's Luke 12:15. Our introduction. He said, I suppose there's not a man alive who would not compute his total assets as far as temporal things are concerned to the last dollar. I don't have a whole lot of money. But I do know how much money I've got, and some of you are the same thing. And that one woman, you know, she lost that coin, and she called for her neighbors to come help her find it. She knew she had a coin missing. But we try to the last dollar to keep up with what we've got. My wife, she pays the bills, I make the money. It don't always work out, but I try to make enough. And we try to do the impossible. We try to make a dollar spend like 10 and all of that. But life's not sized up. Life does not always fit in this category up to the last dollar. And in contrast to that, you find that spiritual riches cannot be computed or counted. They cannot be fathomed nor measured. They're true riches. And it's not a vein of silver or gold that we get our wealth, but we get it from God. The Bible said that God shall supply all of our need out of His riches and glory. And the grace of God is sufficient. Just imagine a day without grace. I'm glad I don't have to, because the Lord gives us grace. But with monetary value, the Bible said in Revelations chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord here speaking to the seven churches, and He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. If you want to be rich in God, you'll have to let go of some of the world, have the things of God. But I'll tell you right now, Luke 16, verse 11 says that's true riches. Those are riches that have value here. And they're riches that will have value in the life to come. And a good example, I guess, of that's Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. The Lord said, go sell that which thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. That don't sound like it would be the formula for riches, but I'll tell you right now, that's what the Lord commanded. Go sell what you got and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Luke 19, verse 8, Zacchaeus done that. He said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Here's a man that got the true riches, the heavenly riches, Zacchaeus did. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with this, but an 82-year-old millionaire buried $2 million in gold in a treasure chest between Mexico and Texas there. And he wrote a poem with 9 clues on where to find this treasure. And a lot of people are looking for it. And some people, I guess, feel like if they find that treasure that they will be satisfied. But it's not the things of the world that can be satisfied. It's sometimes the things of the world that make a ruin of a man. But anyway, there's a lot of people looking for that treasure. And he left a poem. My son showed that to me, and I thought about taking a leave of absence from work. And when I found it, come back, turn my 2 weeks notice in, but I didn't. But he left a poem, and it says, "Walk, but not too far." And it's deep, but not too deep. It's where the water stops. It's brown where it shall be found. And if you find it, go in peace. And he's given some more clues. But he's 82-year-old, and he's a millionaire. And the only purpose that he done this, Keith, is he wanted people to get out of the house. He wanted them to let go of the texting and the cell phones and the video games. He wanted them to go out and see the world. That's why he done it. He said, "I'm about ready to die." He said, "I don't need the money." And the only reason I put that out there, he done it 3 years ago, is because I wanted people to go out of the four walls of their home and see the things the Lord's made. And that was the only purpose he done it. He said, "If you find it, it's yours." And he's had 7,500 inquiries about where this is buried at. It shut his website down and crashed his email address and everything else. He's had a lot of interest in it. But you know, some people think if I could just find that treasure, I'd be all right. Might be, might not. Somebody might knock you in the head and take it. Somebody might break in your house and do you harm.
You can have is Jesus.
Bless you, Molly.
True.
The Bible said, having food and raiment, they would be content. It said, godliness with contentment's great gain. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, lost his soul? A lot of people, they just can't see like God sees. I mean, a lot of people didn't wake up this morning. I'm richer than they are to some degree. I mean, I'd rather be in heaven. But they didn't get to get up this morning. And I did. Some people are in the hospital this morning. And to some degree, I'm richer than them. I'm not in the hospital. I may be 4 days old with, but I'm not right now. Some people woke up this morning in a nursing home. And I guess to some degree, maybe we're richer than them. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot more to riches than silver and gold. And but this quest is going on as I speak. But worldly thoughts, they kind of interrupt spiritual things. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is dead. And you know, if you're really saved, the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Set your affection on things above. Go after the real riches. Find the real treasure. Alright, let's get in a lesson here. Luke 12, verse 13 says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me." Now the Lord here, he's actually been given a discourse. The preceding verses are here. He's telling them, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And he goes on down. He says, "I'll forewarn you whom to fear for him after he's killed as pride, cast into hell. Yea, I say, and you fear him." And he says, "Are there not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." I thank God for that. "Fear not, therefore, for you are more valued than many sparrows. I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring in the synagogues and to the magistrates and powers, Take no thought how what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And then this man speaks up. I mean, just imagine, I'm preaching right now, and I mean, I'm just wearing it out. I mean, it's just, you know, good, hot, on fire, anointed of God. And somebody stands up right in the middle of it and says, "Brother Eddie, what's this mean right here?" Well, that's kind of what happens right here. Here's a man, his mind's not on the message. He's there, but only in body. He's thinking about this inheritance, and it's getting the best of him. And he speaks up right in the middle of the Lord's discourse. And he kind of let everybody know where his mind was. And he said, "Lord, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And that does go on. Believe you me, when I first got saved, it went on with me. I mean, I'm sitting there in the house of God, and the devil's sitting beside me. He's got my mind somewhere over in the far country. He's got my mind on what I'm going to eat or where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. It does go on. But you see here the thoughts of this man manifested in this unmanly interruption. And Jesus, he'd been speaking solemnly about confessing him before men. And this here, he'd all the while been thinking only of his own inheritance, his own needs or desires. And then when this tremendous spiritual truth is being uttered, here he speaks up and kind of shows where his mind is. And Paul, he admonished us to bring every thought into captivity to the mind of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This we must do if we are to be good hearers of the Word. And even our Lord was not able to capture the attention of those who pretended to be interested in what He had to say. That's kind of encouraging to every preacher, it should be. Now, I record these lessons, I record the messages here at this church, and even though maybe there might be some here not interested, I promise you this, there are people out there in the world that are very interested. Matter of fact, they've commented several times on some of the services here, and some of them in Iraq, and some of them far away and some near, but they've commented that, you know, that they were very interested and they were hoping to hear more. But the Lord Himself wasn't able to keep the attention of all those before Him, and every preacher needs to realize that. But He said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" I mean, here the Lord, He just kind of stopped what He's doing and addresses this. But the answer is intentionally abrupt and brief. It's kind of blunt. The reason it is because the man could see Christ as none other than a means to bring about his own interest. I mean, he saw Jesus as maybe an opportunity to persuade his brother. Have y'all ever seen someone, like a lot of people around, to make an issue just because of the gain of it? Like the people standing there, and I mean, they're just dumbfounded that even this is being made known, much less at this time. But he's saying what he's saying to try to bring his own interest to be. And the Lord, He kind of rebuked him here. And He said unto them, this is our text verse, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the thing which he possesseth." The Lord's saying, you might not be better off to have that inheritance, boy. That might not be the best thing. That might not be the will of God for you. And I have seen riches ruin people. I don't want to name them, but I have. I've seen them. They've been better off not to ever come in to the riches. They really would. It changed the way they talked, the way they looked. It changed the things that they did. It changed how they felt about other people. Somehow or another, they felt like they were superior to others. But our Lord often emphasized the dangers of covetousness. Covetousness has a way of seizing you without you even knowing it. You're soon locked in the grip of the thing that you desire, and trying to let go is more difficult than holding on. I've told the story before, but I'll tell it quickly again. The way they capture monkeys is they take a metal can and secure it to a tree, and they pour peanuts in that can. These monkeys up in the tree, and you ever heard those same monkeys see monkey do? But they pour these peanuts in this 5-gallon can, and Keith, it's got a hole in the top of it just big enough for that monkey to get his hand in there and get a handful of them nuts. And that can's secured to that tree, and as soon as they leave, here comes that monkey down. He runs that hand there, gets a handful of them nuts, and he can't pull it out because he got a handful of nuts. He won't fit out now. Here comes this guy with a baseball bat. The monkey sees him. I mean, he's having a fit. He knows he's fixing to knock his brains out. But the peanuts, he won't let go of them to live. So he holds on them peanuts. He's screaming, going crazy. And this guy walks up and comes, wham.
That's the same thing the world
does. That's what I was going to say, Molly. They're doing the same thing. They're holding on to something they need to let go of. You know, you won't ever get saved if you let go of some things. I didn't get saved, Molly, till I was willing to let go of Eddie Wade. I had to crucify him. I had to humble myself. And I had to say I'm a sinner. I didn't want to do that, Gayla. I didn't want to admit I was a sinner. That wasn't an easy thing to do. I had to get down and choke on the words, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me and I want you to save me. God did. His grace was bestowed upon me mightily because I was willing to confess I was a sinner, but I didn't want to admit I was a sinner. I had to let go of some pride, William. I was pretty proud, anyway, 34 years old. I was more of a man than I think, than I would have some hair anyway. But anyway, I had to bow down here before God and say, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. It was a humbling thing, but that's kind of the way salvation is. You got to let go of something to get something. But to give illustration, like a man taking hold of a high tension wire and being held to it by the force of the electricity, you can't let go of it. That's the kind of way covetous is. You can't let go of it. It'll get the best of you. And the thing that you so earnestly desired may actually prove to be a curse to you when you acquire it. And that's why you need to be careful not to covet things that you don't need. You'll just say, you remember what Jesus said? He said, not my will, but thine be done. You need to have the will of God. God's will towards you is good. And we think the more that we gain, the better we'll be off. But it's not always so. Our greatest assets ought to be eternal things, spiritual things. A good name, the Bible said, is rather to be chosen than great riches and love and favor than silver or gold. That's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. But the real pauper or the real poor person is not the fellow who's broke financially, but the fellow who's spiritually broke, bankrupt and void of the grace of God. That's someone that's really in poverty. Good morning, Brother James. Verse 16. Now, I want you to understand the Lord's been preaching. This guy's interrupted him. He rebuked him. Now he's going to give this guy a parable so this guy can understand the principle of covetousness. So, I want you to understand why this parable's here. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. He's already rich. You see that, Molly? Certain rich man. It brought forth plentifully. He didn't even need it. But let me say that the Lord neither favors the rich nor the poor, but He allows His golden sun to shine upon all. He allows His rain. The Bible said He calls it to rain upon the just, upon the unjust. Now this great harvest is anticipated by this rich man. It's getting the best of him. He's already rich, Anthony. And he says, what shall I do with all this abundance of the harvest? Look at verse 17. He didn't know nobody was listening in. But in verse 17, he thought within himself. The Lord's recording what this man's thinking. He's saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to store my fruits. A man's so rich, Molly. He ain't got nowhere to put nothing else, and he's still reaching out. And I believe if a person could gain the whole world, it wouldn't satisfy. Yeah. Now, I think, now this is my old pitiful assumption. don't hold it against me. I'm not Republican, Democrat, or Independent. I'm a Christian. But I think there's just so many slices to a pie. And I have seen people, Melissa, that made little bitty slices and the pie went further. But I also have seen people that cut the pie in half and they took half and they left the other half for the rest and it didn't go too far. Well, with that thought in mind, the world, some people have got so much of the pie there ain't nothing for us left. And that's true. And that's one reason they're trying to turn this country over to socialism. They want to take what they got and give it to the people that's too lazy to work and everything else. But to make that matter even more clear, let me give you a true illustration. My cousin Wade, he went with Brother Rick, my pastor, and Bob McCurry to Jamaica. And Jamaicans are real poor people, but they love the Lord, Gayla. Anyway, my cousin got down there, you know, and he's in a big way. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! And after the service, they went back in the back and they opened up a bottle of Coca-Cola and they brought it to my cousin Wade. Now, I know my cousin Wade. He's just like me. He's full of it. Man, he just turned that thing up and he was drinking it all and he got to notice he's all looking at him. And he put it down. He couldn't figure it out. And after he'd done drunk it down to about that much in the bottle, they started passing around and all they did is just touch their tongue to it so he could make it all the way around. And he understood then that he wasn't supposed to drink so much. But you see, he's in Jamaica. He don't understand that kind of poverty. That was a great honor that they brought it to him first, Melissa. They put it in his hand, him being from America. You know how we are. We've got so much, we just take everything for granted. He just, man, he turned that thing up and he noticed, boy, everybody was looking. When he brought it down, he handed it back to the guy and they passed it around. About all they could do was just touch their tongue to it. Well, that's kind of what I'm trying to say here in this lesson. They all want over here. I'll tell you why. They know this is the land of plenty. They know this is the land God's blessed. They know this is the land that's blessed of God. That's true. But this rich man here, we're already approaching that. This rich man here, he's got so much. He ain't got no room to put nothing else, but he ain't thinking about others, Keith. He's got selfish thoughts. He's just trying to figure out, how can I make room for all of this? He had no eyes for anyone else, and he couldn't see the poor. They weren't very far from him, and they're not far from you or me neither. He had no ears for their tears or their cry of people, you know, that want to know if anybody cares. Old song used to say, does Jesus care? And yes, he does. But there are people that beg, and they need someone, you know, to notice them. He didn't have any thoughts about him. His only thoughts were selfish and about his own self. And verse 18, he said, this I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. There I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. He would go to the expense of tearing down his barns and building bigger ones rather than search out those in need and give them a portion of his goods. Boy, ain't it good? God's not like that. Ain't it good that God, he's kind to the unthankful? I mean, people that eat their food don't even say, Lord, thank you for health. Thank you for appetite. Thank you for this food. I mean, he's kind to them. He don't send a bolt of lightning. You know, my little granddaughter, I said, honey, if you want to, you turn thanks. Boy, I'll pop his buttons off my shirt when she said, Lord, thank you for this food. And thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. Thank you for my grandpa, my grandma, and being able to be here. And boy, I was proud of her. She prayed like she ought to pray for a young girl. She was exceptionally thanking the Lord for such things as we had. But this rich man, he was only interested in how he could gain from this abundance of the harvest. And he's trying to figure out how he can gather up every piece of this harvest. Verse 19, now this parable is for this man. It said, Lord, speak to my brother that he'll give me my portion of inheritance. Verse 19, he said, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That sounds like the goal of all of us. We want to hit that place. Brother James, where we don't have to hit it no more. And we can sit out there in a, what do you call it, the hammock. We can sit there in the hammock, you know, with the straw head or the big hat, you know, and drink our iced tea in the shade and say, man, I got it made. That sounds like it'd be it. I mean, back in our mind, we all want that. Now, I'm in America. I'm just like y'all. I'm chasing after that carrot just like y'all. I can't reach it, but I'm chasing after it. And that's what they want you to do. But anyway, when we get to heaven, there'll be no carrots. It'll be all 24 carat gold, maybe even purer than that. I don't know. But until we get there, we've got a desire to get that place where we can say, take ease. You got it made. But the mistake of the rich man was anticipating to be satisfied by this harvest. And souls that have that kind of thoughts are never satisfied with temporal things. It's only God that can satisfy. And for some reason or another, did you ever see Him include God in this? Did you ever hear Him say, Lord, thank You for this blessing. Lord, thank You, and Lord, Your part right off the bat, I want to give it to You. And Lord, if You want more, let me know. If You want me to take this and give it away, let me know. I never see God mention this at all. But if the world could satisfy, it would, and it don't, and it can't. Verse 20, but God said unto him, and this is an important verse, God said unto him, thou fool. Now here's a man that's tearing barns down. Here's a man that's rich. Here's a man that's got more than knows what to do with. God called him a fool. And He said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? God suddenly shocked this man out of this dream, out of this plan with a nightmare of factual truths. Fact number one, the rich man was a fool, and everyone like him is a fool. Fact number two, the temple provisions that he had made were not going to be able to be enjoyed by him. Fact number three, his life was to be suddenly cut off, come to an end. His selfishly used plans for prosperity and wealth proved to be a witness against him. Matter of fact, James chapter 5, verse 3 talks about those rich men, said that their riches would eat them like a canker, be a witness against them. But they'd eat his flesh as it were a fire. And he's a fool who does not take God into his plans. A fool hoards all he can for self and gain, cares nothing for others or lost and perishing souls. Verse 21, the Lord said, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself, is not rich towards God. The heavenly treasures are the ones that should be desired, and you need to let the Lord allow you to gain if you have need of being gained, or allow the Lord to cause you to enjoy the things you already have. You ever sit down and just count your blessings? Probably surprise you how rich you are. But there's a big difference between living by faith and living worldly, carnally. There's a big difference. Faith will kind of scare you a little bit. But God promised He'd supply your needs out of His riches and glory. But it's not what we can get out of life that matters, but it's what can I attribute to it. That would be the concern of Christians. One of our president, I think it's John F. Kennedy, said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And that was a noble statement, and it did have validity. Verse 22, He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. And the Lord, He's the good shepherd. He cares for the sheep, and He provides for us things we'll have need of. And you're probably surprised you to see how God works things out. I'd like to spend a little while. I'm looking at the clock back here, and it's wearing me out. But verse 23, He said, life is more than meat, and the body's more than raiment. Bible said we see in part and know in part. The part we see and the part we know. I'll tell you what, buddy, sometimes it gets in the way of the things we need to see and the things we need to know. Life's more than just something to eat. The body's more than clothing. And many are foolish enough to look upon the outward appearance and think they're rich. And inside they're poor. Inside they're poverty stricken. Because they're only rich in worldly sense and they're not rich with heavenly things. Verse 24, the Lord said, consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn. God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And, you know, some people worry. Martha worried. She said, Lord, carest not that my sister left me to serve alone. And Jesus just stopped, turned around, and He said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and worried about many things, but one thing's needful. Sometimes it's more important just to let the Lord be the Lord. Not try to be the Lord yourself. Verse 25, He said, which of you taking thought can add to His stature one cubit? That's about 19 inches. A cubit is the distance from your elbow to your fingers, and it does vary. But I can't do it. Matter of fact, I think I'm getting shorter. But the best we can do goes to the grave. You go out to the cemetery today if you get a chance. You go out there and read the tombstones. And if you find one, it says, I took it with me. I'll tell you one thing. Something wrong with that. Because someone said one time a rich lady died and a lawyer said, how much did she leave behind? He said, all. She left it all behind. But verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? I mean, that's just simple. That's just simple as you can make it. The things of life are but for a moment. But the things that have to do with the life beyond are eternal. They're the ones that fall in the category of the true riches. Verse 27, the Lord says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon reigned more in glory than any of the Jewish kings. Yet Jesus said he was not even worthy to be compared with one lily. The last verse. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more will it clothe you, O ye of little faith? The greatest need of people today to have more faith in God. People today have got faith in their stock account, their bank account, their saving account, and the money, the means that they have. But you'd be surprised how quickly that can disappear. And this applies to all of us. Let man learn from the flower of the field. And it is perfect faith, perfect confidence in God that leads to peace and joy. Whether we be rich or whether we be poor, educated or ignorant, trusting in God and being saved brings more joy and peace and happiness than anything in this world. Amen. There'll be some people that'll be richer than you, and yet they wish they had what you got. I heard a testimony of a woman one time going home from work. And her testimony was, she said, I'm a millionaire several times over. And she said, I'll give every penny of it for one night's peace. I can't sleep. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm poor Job's turkey. I ain't got two nickels rubbed together. And I crossed them railroad tracks on the bypass there in Glasgow, Kentucky. Brother Melvin, and I came aware of how rich I was. I went home. Really, you don't even think about this, but I slept like a baby. And here she was. She said, I'll give it all for one night's peace. One night to be able to sleep. And I realized how rich I was. And you know, sometimes, boy, money can't buy everything. If it could, there'd be some people that have everything. But there's some people, buddy, the thing they need the most, they can't buy with money. And yet God gives it freely and they don't put no value on it. We'll stop right there. And Brother James is here this morning. Good to see him.